Isn't God incredible? I always find it difficult to speak after we've spent such an amazing time in the presence of God. Jige, can I ask you to put this on the monitors a little bit? Yeah. Like so. Is that better? Thank you. So tonight, I'm going to be talking, well, I've named the title of what I'm going to be speaking about, The Race. But I don't necessarily know that that's the best title to be speaking, or to name it, but I'm going to be talking about something that I really enjoy, and going to be tying it into the Word, and how it's very relevant for each and every single one of us. As many of you might know, I really enjoy cycling. And my dad and I, every Saturday morning, we're up early and sometimes in the week. And it's just something that we really enjoy. While I was on holiday, we cycled this one hill. Cycled up Beavers Creek, and it was a crazy hill. It was about 10 k's long, which is probably longer than any hill we've ever done before. And we got to the top, and we had this man. It was an amazing sunrise. And I always joke, and I say, the reason we climb is to see the view from the top. But in order to get to that climb, a whole bunch of things had to happen before that. And so I'd like to start right at the beginning. So why did I land up cycling? Why did I start cycling in the first place? The reason I started cycling in the first place is I had a friend of mine that spoke about cycling. He said, Josh, I'm going to be doing the 94.7 this year. And I'm like, this 94.7 thing, this thing sounds like a good idea. I did not know what I was getting myself in for. Ask a couple of the cyclists here and they'll tell you it's a tough route to ride. But my point is, I started because somebody told me about it. Very much as our walk with Christ is when we begin about it, or when we begin our walk with Christ, often it is because somebody told us something about it. There was something about what they told us about it that seemed to captivate our hearts. There was something that drew us towards that thing. And so we started on the journey to pursue it. Now when you start riding, you are very unfit. Ask the likes of those that have cycled with us now. They'll tell you, it's a little bit difficult to keep up with us. That's only because they haven't put in the time and the effort that we have. And so I wanted to paint a little bit of a picture of what it's like when we are unfit, before we actually are walking with Christ. It looks a little bit like 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. So when you're unfit, it's like Paul writing to these Corinthians, and he says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Sorry, Trigia, can you bring this down a little bit? It's feeding back. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or are greedy people or are drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. So my first point really speaks to, when we start out on our journey, So it's just very loud. Can you bring it down some more? Sorry about that. I'm not going to use this thing. I'm going to just rather use a normal mic. When technology is letting you... Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's much better. Can you hear me better now? I can hear me better now. It's much better. So back to my point is, in the early days when we serve in Christ, we are very much like that first description that I've described is, we're unfit. You don't need to turn it up, please. Sorry. I don't need it getting any louder. It's this one. We are full of sin. We're living this life that is really not what God has called us to. And that's kind of like our bodies. When we start riding bike, our bodies are not used to exercise, but our bodies were designed for exercise. When you start exercising, yes, it's sore and it hurts and it's uncomfortable, but the more you do it, the more you really enjoy it, and the more your body benefits for it. It's the same with our walk with Christ. The more you ride, the fitter you get, the less it hurts, the better you get it, the faster you ride, the more you enjoy it. And it made me think again about that hill that we rode up. And it reminded me of a verse in Romans. So if you go to Romans chapter 5. Oh, wrong direction. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You see, when you're training on a bicycle, first you do small distances, 5Ks, 10Ks. Then you start doing maybe 40Ks, and then you build it up to 60Ks. And I start seeing this thing of when we run into problems. So when we decide to ride our bicycles, it does feel like a trial. But it helps us develop endurance. It helps us to carry on doing this for longer. And endurance develops strength of character. You can ask any of the cyclists here, when you're cycling up Krugersdorp Hill, you have plenty of thoughts going through your mind. One of the thoughts that goes through your mind is, I can't do this. This hill is just too long. It is too hard. I think I've eaten too much for Christmas. That's supposed to be funny. The point is that the more you ride and the more we spend our time with God, we develop this endurance. And all of a sudden, you start developing a strength of character. When sin comes knocking on your door, if you've been able to resist it once, so like if you've been able to climb a hill the first time, all of a sudden you've won a mental battle against that trial or against that tribulation. And all of a sudden there becomes a strength of character starts building within us. A strength of character of knowing who we are in Christ. A strength of character in knowing that, yes, there might be challenges, but because I've done it once, I can do it again. And then that strength of character develops our confident hope of salvation. So now if I wake up on a Saturday morning and we get to our club ride and they tell us we're going to be riding 120Ks, 3 years ago I would have said, no, you're mad. There's not a chance I can ride 120Ks. Well, two Saturdays ago we got on our bikes and said we're doing this 120Ks. We got on our bikes and we did it. But the only reason why we were able to do it is because we put in so many hours on the bike before. It is the same with our walk with Christ. Things that as baby Christians we thought were impossible are no longer impossible because we know who Christ is, because we've developed it over years. Why is it that our mature Christians can just walk into a certain situation and immediately know what the Holy Spirit is telling them? It's because they've been practicing with the Holy Spirit for a long time. Because they've been practicing hearing the voice of God. They've been practicing spending time on their knees in prayer. They've been studying the Word. And when we do that type of endurance training with God, all of a sudden we're fit. And we can take on anybody. And it's amazing. The more we practice, the better we get. So that's about developing endurance. One thing I also learned when we started riding is, riding alone is horrible. I don't know if my cyclist friends would agree with me. It's not fun. And how many times do we not see in the church? I don't need to go to church. I can do it by myself. How many times do you not see people that said, I've been hurt by church too many times. You know, it's church isn't really for me. I can do this walk by myself. And made me think about riding. Why do I ride with people? There's a few reasons why I ride with different people. Number one, safety. The more of you there are on the road, the more likely it is that the cars that are riding around you will see you. How does that apply to our lives in the church? Well, as soon as you have a friend that is a Christian, there is almost a safety net. Number one, there's two of you praying for each other. And number two, that person can almost warn you of the opposition that's coming your way. They can kind of teach you how to be safe. Number two is, it's just company. You know, it's nice to have somebody to speak to while you're riding. Riding alone is very lonely. But then also when you're riding with somebody, you tend to push each other. You should ask my mom and my sister about the competition between my dad and I. We're still competing for the Strava segment. We want to be number one on that list. And if we're truly walking with one another as Christians, we're also going to be pushing ourselves. We're going to be saying, you know, what have you learned this week? Where is God taking you this week? You know, and when you see your fellow Christians growing, you have that desire to grow with them. When you see your fellow cyclists going faster, you want to be able to keep up with them. You want to beat your dad. Because, I mean, it's embarrassing when your dad's beating you on a bicycle. It would also be embarrassing if our brothers in Christ are doing better than us because we're not putting in the effort that God has called us to put in. Amen? The other thing that I find quite amazing, if I look at my cycling journey, is my dad and I have cycled with two clubs. The first club we cycled with, these guys just kind of got there, then they got on with it. They didn't really speak to you. They weren't really friendly. Yes, they were cycling, but they weren't, you know, they weren't really interested in the individual. The second club we joined, we were by far the slowest cyclist in that group. And maybe we still are the slowest cyclist in that group on some days. But the group embraced us. And we have learned so much more about ourselves and about cycling by spending time with these people. And in the church context, it's the same. Who are we surrounding ourselves with? Are we surrounding ourselves with Christians that never actually talk about being Christians? That never actually give us any advice? That never actually give us anything that we can lean on to grow our faith? Or are we leaning on people that are seasoned warriors of Christ? People that can actually tell us, listen here, if you pedal like this, or if you live like this, this is what's going to help you in your walk with Christ. You know, I've done this race. I've been through this trial. And this is what you need to know about going through things like this. Who are we surrounding ourselves with? Are we surrounding ourselves with Christians that are encouraging us, that are pushing us, that are asking us, are you getting to that next level? Or are you surrounding yourselves with Christians that are never actually talking about the reality of Christ that has changed them? And one thing I know is I've improved more with the club that is helpful and encourages me and that I can learn from than the club that wouldn't talk to me and would leave me behind if I had a mechanical issue. What type of Christian are we? Are we being the Christian that's encouraging the newbie? Are we getting behind them so that they can grow? Are we aligning ourselves with people that are actually going to get us to move forward rather than to stagnate or even go backwards? Thought that was very interesting. The next thing that I learned about cycling is that if you don't ride for 2 weeks, coming back the next week is difficult. It is hard because your fellow cyclists, they've been out training. They've been putting in the hard yards and coming back is difficult. So I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 24 to 27. And it says this: "Don't you realize that in a race everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an internal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that I might, after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Paul makes a very important point there. Just like us on our bicycles, if we want to keep improving, we have to be riding every Saturday. We need to be riding in the week. We need to be disciplined about it. We need to eat right so we get the best out of our bodies. Same in the Christian faith. If we want to be successful Christians, we need to be disciplined in our walk with God. We need to make it a daily thing. We need to be setting time aside to spend with our Savior. Because if we're not going to be doing that, we're going to be putting on weight. We're going to be unfit. And when race day comes, we're going to be inadequately prepared and maybe even be disqualified because we haven't put in the effort that God has asked us to put in. I skipped ahead of myself a little bit in the one point that I made here. One thing I know is that the more time we spend cycling, the better we get. Because we're pushing towards something. We're working towards something. And one thing that I've definitely learned is that as a cyclist, you need to have goals. You need to set some sort of target ahead of yourself. I know for my dad and myself, we were looking at that 3-hour mark for the 94.7. It's a big mark for a cyclist to cycle 100 Ks in under 3 hours. As Christians, we're talking about an eternal prize. We're talking about actually getting into heaven, actually living a life that God has called us to. But one thing it's going to take determination. You don't get to the top of your sport without, I want to almost say, being stubborn about your training, being stubborn about putting in the effort, being stubborn about putting in the hard yards. How stubborn are we about truly getting to know Christ? Are we truly like a bulldog that's just not letting go? Are we like Jacob that's fighting God all night long until we get our blessing? The harder we push as athletes, the faster we get, the more we improve. The more time we're going to spend with our Savior, the more time we're going to invest in others' lives, the more we're going to grow. It reminded me of another scripture. If you turn to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12. And he says, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race. And I receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." Church, are we pressing on? Are we looking forward to that prize? And if we are looking forward to that prize, do our actions reflect it? I know if I want to beat my dad this year, which I really do, I'm going to have to work harder than him on my bicycle this year. But if I want to reach perfection with Christ, if I want to reach where my Bible heroes were at, I need to train just as hard as they did in the Word. I need to be spending as much time as Jesus was in the Word if I want to be like Jesus. I really need to live that example. If I don't do that, there's no ways that I'm going to be able to do what God has called me to. There's no ways that I'll be able to reach that eternal prize that I'm wanting to reach. There's one other thing that I learned in cycling, and it's my closing point. Is that at the beginning of a season, we do something called base training. Base training is not about going as fast as you can or as hard as you can, but it's about spending hours on your bicycle, sometimes going a little bit slower than normal, but it's really about committing a certain time of your training block at the beginning of your training to build endurance for the season that lies ahead. What have we just done as a church? We've just done our base training for the year. We spend time in prayer and fasting, readying ourselves for the year, spending maybe more time in the presence or more time studying the word than what we would at another time in the year, really dedicating time to God. Church, that tells me one thing. If we manage to put in our base training for the year as a church, and we've done it properly, it's going to benefit us for the whole season or for the whole year. So I want to encourage us as a church and say, look, church, if we put in our training, we can reach the goals that we've set out for ourselves in this year. We can go out and smash the records that we put last year, and we can really push into the presence of God. So yeah, tonight you might have learned a little bit about cycling, but I hope that you've really more learned about enduring with God and putting in the training that you need with God, or putting in effort with God. Because if we really want to improve, we need a change. I know my dad spoke or mentioned something, I don't know, it was a week or two ago, was something that I cottoned on to a little while ago. Albert Einstein said insanity was doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Church, if we're not happy with where we are with our walk with God, we've got to ask, well, what am I doing now? And if what I'm doing now is not working, it means I need a change. And I believe God's talking to me right now. What do we need to change? In the same way as an athlete, if an athlete keeps on the same program, just starts repeating the same program over and over again, there will come a point where they'll stop improving. And it's at that point that they need to change their training to improve once more. Maybe we need to ask ourselves in the next week, Lord, what do I need to change? Does my training with you need to change in order for me to move forward with you? So I encourage you, let's become endurance athletes for God. Let's train our bodies like we're going to conquer the Tour de France, but with God. Let's aim for that mountaintop finish, that eternal prize that is waiting for us. One thing I know about cycling is it's extremely rewarding being able to finish a ride and you don't feel broken. If we train right with God, when we get to heaven, there will be a prize waiting for us. It won't be just surviving just by testing of fire. We don't want to get into heaven and just skim in. We want to get there and we want to have treasure stored up for ourselves. We want to truly have pleased God with our walk. Church, let's do that. Let's close our eyes. Father God, I want to thank you that you have called us to walk with you, Lord. You have called us to press into you, Lord. You've called us to become endurance athletes for you. Lord, people that can just go miles and miles and miles with you, Lord. Lord, you're not looking for the quick sprint, Lord, or the short moments of glory, but Lord, you're wanting that prize where people have just poured their whole lives into you, Lord. Father God, I want to pray, Lord, that you'll make us and you'll help us to become the most amazing endurance Christians around. Lord, would you help us to spend enough time in your word, Lord, to get the results that we're after, Lord. And if we've got it wrong, I pray, please forgive us and help us to get it right from today onwards. Father God, as we come through this fast period, I want to thank you that, Lord, you have been our strength. Lord, you have sustained us. But I thank you, Lord, that this base training has set us up for the rest of the year. Lord, it set us up for a year of good results from you. So, Father, come and have your way in our lives, Lord. Help us to move forward in you. Help us to become stronger as Christians, Lord, and to mentor more, Lord, and to love harder, Lord, and to truly reflect the image of Christ. Lord, help us to grow in flourish in faith and grow in love, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen.